me.
Hello, grandkids, and welcome to what has been a festival of podcasts this week, especially for WrestleMania, and we decided to roll out the red carpet. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, I know that that We Watch stuff has already been posted. Jeremy did not tell me that he was talking at all about NXT TakeOver with Shahid. So we decided to take up that beat, and I have watched for the most. I've been far more consistent on NXT since the Rumble than you know. It's kind of funny that I'm just doing it for WrestleMania season again. Like I need to try to be a little more consistent with with my NXT viewing in between. But yeah, I've watched most of the last couple episodes because, well, and I guess we were going to start from the bottom of the card up here again, as we did with our SmackDown show. And this one, it has at least been around for quite a while, with Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong, No Way Jose, and the newly or the newcomer to the women's division in NXT, Ruby Riott, taking on All of Sanity, which means Nikki Cross obviously is involved. And honestly, I still don't know the names of the two other guys that Eric Young's with. I know the woman's name, but because it is not in front of me...
Is it even in the preview? Did they even give them names in the preview?
No, it just says Sanity. It doesn't even say Eric Young or Nikki Cross, but they're both memorable. So, you know, I can't think of what their names are, and I'm not and I'm not gonna search it.
Okay, it's Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane.
Ah, okay.
Killian Dane, I believe, is the big one. Alexander Wolf is the not so big one.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah, this has been going on for a while now, since at least the beginning of the year. You know, starting with the Eric Young Ty Dillinger feud, and then Ty Dillinger getting back up from Roderick Strong and No Way Jose over the last few months. I don't know. It's just not a lot, really. I personally don't have a lot invested in this. Strong and Jose are just a strange trio. They don't work, and it doesn't really work for me.
They definitely haven't established enough of a commonality between them to, like. Because even though they've had their problems, evidently in the past, with Sanity on their own, I guess I haven't really seen much of that. And honestly, Eric Young hasn't been around that long, so...
No. This whole Sanity gimmick hasn't been around that long. I don't believe that they've been presented as that great of a threat, obviously, when they're... When they're only messing around with Ty Dillinger, it loses something. Yeah, Dillinger's one of those guys who, he's not going to make it. 10-10-10 might stick around annoying people for years and years to come, but Ty Dillinger himself will not make it. He just doesn't have it.
That's why I was really surprised. Like, that was one of those things this year. When Jeremy mentioned how people were going to freak out if Ty Dillinger wasn't number 10 in the Royal Rumble, Like, I'm like, huh? Like, what happened? Like, because when I again, with my admitted from for the most part lapsed watching of NXT, like the year before, I was just like, this guy's a chump. Like, I don't really care about this guy. And then all of a sudden, a year later, everyone's gonna, well, or 9 months later, everyone's gonna be upset if he doesn't get on the Royal Rumble card. I'm like, what happened? I was like, and since I've watched him, I guess I don't think he's terrible, but
No, not terrible.
I don't get it either.
I don't get it. He's very wooden on promos. He's decent at best in the ring. Yes, the 10-10-10 thing got over at Full Sail, and gets over at the bigger buildings as well. But anyone could get that over. Pretty much, it's the concept, not the wrestler that makes that work in any way, shape, or form. And it's going to become some. It's already become something that, depending on the market they're in, it becomes a distraction and annoyance from the live crowd. But yeah, no. And the thing is, with Ty Dillinger, even if they were going to make him something, they still haven't given him that big singles win. He still
Oh.
loses the big match all the time. Even when the 10-10-10 thing started to really go.
Yeah, 'cause did he? I'm trying to think if he beat Eric Young at the last. But no, he
He did
lost
not.
at take
He did
at the
not. He
last
lost that match. Yeah.
takeover.
That was a big one. That loss was real. That defined him down. Granted, yes, the next night he got in the Rumble. Whatever, but that loss to Eric Young, that really I that hurt him. I just don't feel like, you can't keep doing that to a guy who is not was not that talented, cannot come back from so many losses. Now, granted, if the frickin' Drifter is gonna end up on the main roster imminently, I guess Ty Dillinger should get a chance. Bar has been lowered.
That is one that I did just finish watching NXT this past week, and I watched that match, and I'm like, Ono can't be going back off the roster this early, right? Like, I mean, he legit signed with them again.
Right.
So I'm like, he's not losing this, right? And then it started dawning on me. I'm like, when I'm watching the match, I'm like, oh shit, are they moving the Drifter to the main roster?
Oh
Like,
my, and oh my God, dude! I know we're going on a side track here, but do loser leaves town matches not work in NXT? You lose, you get a pay, promotion and a pay raise.
yeah, I mean, the WWE hasn't dwelled on that on TV, and no one said it out loud, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're getting more exposure, period, end of sentence.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of silly, but as I said, if the bar is going to be lower, the Drifter has nothing. He really has nothing.
Well, it's one of those things that A, he looks a lot like Seth Rollins.
He does do, yes, that is true.
So I don't think that helps him at all.
I mean, they must be confusing, go away heat with real heat. That's all I can think of. They think, oh, this is going to get so much heat on the main roster. I'm like, I don't think it's going to get that. I think it's going to get the sit down in your seat or get up and go to the bathroom type heat. This guy's got nothing. So once again, if you lower the bar that low, maybe Ty Dillinger should get something of a change of scenery and see what he can do. But yeah, this whole thing, not really invested in it. The six-man tags they've done have been nothing special. Adding the women are it's a little bit of a new element. But, you know, Ruby Riot is literally so new that it's just, you know, no one knows anything about her. And I don't know if they've really heated up Nikki Cross that much for her to have this new foe of her own.
Right.
And I'll say this, you know, a number of, you know, not, you know, Maxim model hot women have been able to, you know, succeed on the main roster. But man, I don't know if these two women can pass the Vince McMahon Kevin Dunn eye test to ever escape NXT. People's tastes are different, but I just don't know if I see it.
I see it for Cross, at least. Like, if they...
She's unique enough. Yeah.
If she joined up with the Wyatts or something like that, or they just bring that whole gimmick up.
Well, I mean, if they bring the whole gimmick up, you know, together, you know, she's got a shot then.
But I don't know. Riot, like you said, Ruby Riot, I don't know.
Unless she's Asuka level in the ring, I don't know, you know, if that, you know, she'll pass that eye test.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess she has some time to go one way or the other, you know,
right.
Just because she is so new. So I guess I'm not even worried about that. But I agree with you. Like, there just isn't that much interest in this. Like, the three guys have, like you said, been a strange combination the whole time. And again, your assessment with Sanity, like, they haven't really been treated as, like, on the microphone, they say they're, you know, crazy and wild and take over, but they haven't shown any of that on TV.
Yeah. If you're going to do that, you have to go for top guys. And they have not.
Yeah. So, I guess we've got to get to prediction time here. Are you going good guys or bad guys?
Good guys. I mean, after all, I mean, because it's just been one continuous beatdown, heel beatdown for this entire story, this entire feud. So,
yep,
I imagine they have to get their win.
We will be on the same page, at least for this first match, unlike our SmackDown Live portion of things. So, yeah, I'm going with the good guys on this. Like, there's no reason not to have them win. Next up on the docket, the debuting Aleister Black against Andrade Cien Almas. Interesting. I had forgotten that we saw him last year in Dallas, speaking of Almas, like on the pre-show match. And I had forgotten that we were impressed with him.
I never, okay.
At least in the ring. I liked his match last week. Two weeks ago.
I don't know. There's just something about him that just makes it, you know, fast-forward material for me. I don't know what it is. There's something about him I just don't like. It's not good heat in any way. It's just...
Oh,
maybe it's
well.
The suspenders. Maybe it's the whole ensemble, everything. I just don't care about anything he does.
Yeah, I guess I'm more of trying to talk about the in-ring part. Yeah, because his like look and kind of persona is hot garbage. Like they're trying to do like an Enrique Iglesias kind of thing or something of that nature, and it's. He doesn't seem smooth enough to take, you know, to be able to pull that off.
No. He's a guy who, you know, Triple H came out right out and said it. Worked his whole career in a mask down in Mexico. When they met him, they're like, "This guy's so handsome. Why would you want to hide his face?" Well, I think we've seen why.
Yeah, he is definitely not the best promo. But again, I guess with someone debuting in a show like TakeOver, he should at least be in. Aleister Black should be in good hands in the ring, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, so. It's sure to be fine. I'll be watching it live, so I won't be fast forwarding through this one. The vignettes have been good for Aleister Black. The former Tommy End in the UK indie scene comes with pretty high buzz, so but I've never seen him work, so you know, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, Almas will probably be a good opponent for him. Maybe British style versus Lucha style will won't mess well, but I think it'll be all right, especially since a match like this that's, you know, second match on the show, you know, not gonna get more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, it should be fairly short-lived, and I would imagine that we're going to have the same prediction on this this match, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Aleister Black is going to win his debut. I mean, I don't... And, you know, the bloom is off the rose a lot with Almas, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to put over their shiny new toy.
moving on along... it is the tag team championships that's in a triple threat elimination style match. So this one has the potential of really being the longest match of the night.
Yeah. This has been probably the best built up match. It's got the potential to be the best match. DIY and Revival have incredible chemistry. Back at TakeOver San Antonio, Authors of Pain showed that they are they're carryable, they are coachable, they can rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
So yeah, I expect some really good things here, some really, you know, unique spots, and, you know, just some really this match will probably steal the show.
I got so excited about it. Like, I just love all the stuff that the Revival does.
Oh, that's great.
The old let's leave the ringside and then take advantage of a finisher just had me howling. Because, you know, it's one thing to be, like, outside the ring and kind of blowing off the match and take advantage of something, or finally duck in to beat down on somebody. Like, I mean, he was clear in the back and really taking the match off and then takes advantage of it. That was just a hoot to me. And they just do such classic stuff and apply it in a modern way to make it quite enjoyable.
Yeah, absolutely. Revival is really great. Hopefully, I don't see them coming out with the victory, and hopefully they'll make their main roster debut imminently.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, either show could use their presence for sure. Of course, tag teams are still, they get their segments now on Raw and SmackDown, but they still don't do a very good job of getting the tag teams over as a whole. So that's the only thing about the Revival going up there. I guess to me, their gimmick is more translatable. But I mean, American Alpha's a gimmick is translatable to me, and they've just done a piss poor job of trying to put them over. Like, they're still somewhat popular on the roster, but they really still could have done a better job with them too.
Oh, they've done a terrible job with SmackDown tag team division. It's really bad, and you know, and that's the thing with the Revival now is, there are heel tag team champions on SmackDown. I guess there could be babyface tag team champions coming out of Raw if they're immediately going to go get, you know, end up in a tag team title situation. So yeah, right. It'll be interesting where they go. I see the revival. I do see them going up. I see them definitely as being ready. Well, DIY maybe will be in, you know, NXT for a little while longer. And I think they got to make the ultimate decision as to whether or not they go up as a tag team or if they go up separately with Gargano and Ciampa, as opposed to the revival, one without the other has no chance.
Yeah, at least to start off with, but for now they need to go up since Gargano, and it helps that. Well, I would imagine that Wilder and Dawson could go to 205 Live because they're not the biggest guys either. But DIY can go to 205 Live. It is something of an option on top of being on the main roster. Like if they go singles, you know, they could go up as a tag team. They could go up separately. One could go to 205 Live and the other just regular roster duty. Like, I think they have more of a combination, and because they were both singles wrestlers in the indies, that helps too.
Right.
I really like Ciampa in Ring of Honor for the most part. I kind of wondered why he wasn't in the WWE, honestly.
Yeah. I like Ciampa there, but one of the reasons probably was his size. I think that you were surprised when, as soon as he, made his debut on NXT, how small he is compared to a lot of guys on NXT. I think that some things needed to change on the end. Don't be hiring practice for a guy like Ciampa to get a break.
Yeah, that was one thing that's kind of funny. In ROH, he was kind of a bigger guy, but in the WWE, even in NXT, he is not on the large side.
No, not at all.
I guess that the Authors of Pain are still something of a blank slate in a way, just because Paul Ellering does their talking for them.
Yeah.
So it really is mostly in-ring stuff, and they've proven capable, at least.
Yeah, they've proven capable. They're definitely the type of act that they're going to want to be brought up to the main roster sooner than later. They're a tailor-made act for the main roster. Not sure the long-term on Paul Ellering, just simply for an age factor, and I'm not saying I think the guy's gonna die soon. I mean, just
right.
They don't like having two, old people,
on TV.
Vince took himself to takes himself off TV because he doesn't look the way he himself looks on TV. So yeah, but without him, right. Though they did, or without some type of a mouthpiece, I know English is neither their first language. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me exactly where each of them is from, but I know English is not their first language, so
gotcha.
They're gonna need a mouthpiece, and I guess they'll continue to be Ellering. They'll probably stay in NXT for a while. I guess if we're ready for predictions here.
Yeah,
I think Authors of Pain will retain.
Yeah, we are. We may be voting the whole card here together the same, because I'm going with it. Like, I don't know that there's any reason to give the titles back to DIY right now. The Revival really does seem like the team that would go up first between the three of them, just because they've been around the longest, in NXT. Like, I don't know if there's much more you can do with them there.
Right, no.
Even if they will be fighting at least a couple of the same teams up on the main roster, no matter where they go. That leaves us with the two big championship matches. And the first up on the docket here is the women's championship between Asuka and Ember Moon.
Yeah, they have really... I don't want to say they dragged it out, because it's not like they had a storyline between the two of them, but they've delayed putting these two together until this night, until the WrestleMania weekend takeover. Asuka was kind of in a, really a nothing four-way at the San Antonio takeover, simply because they didn't want to go to this match that soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was one where I think, because San Antonio was Rumble. Even at that point, I think I'd watched a few weeks before San Antonio, and I was like, hold on, why is Ember Moon not the one taking on Asuka? But, that's the only solution, is that they were just intentionally keeping them apart.
Yeah. I believe that's the case. They've done a simple but effective build for this one. I mean, Asuka's been, slowly turning heel, but still hasn't done anything that heelish.
Oh.
She's been getting, more cocky, more vicious, in the way that she's always vicious in the way that she handles, her matches against, jobber talent and all that.
She was kind of picking up, I think she put in a little extra beat down.
Yeah.
Last match that I saw her in.
Yeah, so, they're definitely, I don't necessarily, once again, I don't want to go to predictions too early, but I don't necessarily see, the need for a title change here. I don't know if they're ready for Asuka to come up. I mean, I guess she's been working some house shows lately, and some TV Dark matches. Maybe they're ready for it, but I think that they could probably use to keep. I hate keeping anyone who doesn't really need to be down there for any real seasoning or any real training, but right. I could see them keeping her there, because otherwise, who does Ember Moon wrestle?
Well, I see this maybe as more of one of those ones where Asuka ends up sticking around. Excuse me. Afterwards, because she needs to get her rematch against Ember Moon. So I could see her sticking around for another month or two, or till the next takeover at the latest, and then getting called up, just because Ember Moon wouldn't have too many people to wrestle. Because, I mean, she's, at least from what I can tell, pretty much beaten everyone on the roster, aside from Asuka at this point. So it's a little bit tough to hand her new material without a championship belt.
Right. I'm gonna go with Asuka here. I think that they're gonna drag out the chase a little while longer. Maybe have, because Asuka's beating everyone clean in the middle. Maybe she has to cheat a little bit. Establish this heel turn. Give her a little bit of a heel run before bringing her up to the main roster.
I am gonna go obviously with Ember Moon, going with the title change, but I could see something like that happening, because I don't know why, but I just get the vibe that they don't completely trust Ember Moon for some reason or another. I don't know. Hasn't been there long. Like, she hasn't even really been in NXT long enough to be the champion yet. Like, she still seems like in the ring she needs to clean up still a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think they need to work on the gimmick a little bit, flesh out exactly what it is.
That would help a lot.
Because now she just looks like she's doing a Mortal Kombat cosplay, as opposed to being whatever, warrior woman or whatever the heck it's supposed to actually be.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm feeling, is that the character just isn't really there. So
it really isn't. Hopefully we'll flesh this out more. It should be a good match. I am looking forward to it.
I am not going to argue, or I do not think that I'm going to have to argue about the quality of this match. And another match that I am not worried about the quality is the NXT champion Bobby Roode taking on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah, that should be excellent. I have, I hope for that as a match. Roode is definitely, a guy that they could, should build NXT around, for, another 6 months to a year. I mean, granted, he's not getting any younger, but, NXT still needs something. Remember, again, this is probably with Nakamura, but until that top guy in NXT is able to be replaced, some of these guys are going to be, NXT longer than they probably should be. But, as a centerpiece heel for the brand, I think, Bobby Roode is very good in his role. I guess I'm giving away what my prediction is going to be here. I get what I was trying to say.
It's one of those feuds, though, that it's hard to talk a lot about it because Nakamura's been out with the knee injury for a majority of the time in between San Antonio and this takeover. And Roode had the one match against Cassius Ohno last week. And aside from that, he hasn't really had much to do either. It's basically only a rematch because Nakamura needs a rematch for his title.
The show needed a main event. That's pretty much it. And,
right.
It's kind of the reason why Nakamura wasn't brought up, between Rumble and now. I mean, because they needed him to main event in NXT. Hopefully they don't, to a certain degree, I understand NXT needs to stand on its own as a brand and needs some, stars, but come on here. If Nakamura doesn't show up on Raw or SmackDown this week, they're insane.
Well, and like you said, I think just because Nakamura's a bigger name, he, as much as I like Bobby Roode and how much he's kind of come along from the tail end of his run in TNA, from the moment pretty much Beer Money happened until, his good title runs, I've really enjoyed him, but he didn't ever get me as excited at any point. Is watching Nakamura the first time at Wrestle Kingdom 8, I think, or 7 or 8. I can't remember of the last couple of years, but whatever the case is, I saw him that first time. I'm like, oh my god, this guy's awesome. It was that kind of thing. I like Roode a lot. The glorious gimmick's hilarious. But Nakamura is just kind of out of the park.
If anything, Nakamura has actually, slowed down or toned down. He hasn't been raised. He hasn't raised his game. He's learned to work at an even tempo, and not just be, this excitable, charismatic, energetic guy in every match he's in. Which, that's what WWE likes when people work at, certain levels for certain things, build things, break out your A game on the big pay per views and things of that sort. So, I see the point of plus he's an old he's his later 30s. He's got his wear and tear, you know, to not get, you know, I get why he doesn't go all out, you know, in front of Full Sail or when he's, you know, working in those gym shows in Florida, which he really shouldn't even be on. That's just silly to even have him on any of those small, you know, gym armory shows down throughout Florida.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think that, you know, this match, you know, Rude wins. Nakamura, read like back, you know, different things as to whether or not he's what dates he's advertised for NXT going forward. And they could always change their minds or just send him anyway if he's on the main roster. But yeah, it's time. You know, it'll whether it's Raw, whether it's SmackDown, it will get the biggest pop of the night, possibly, arguably, and yeah, it's time. It is just beyond time, and there's no logical reason for, you know, the big, you know, the violent chord start, you know, whatever violent chords do. I'm not a music guy. the strumming of the chords, and you hear that music and the little synthesizer, you know, all everything that related to Nakamura's music. That's a moment that needs to happen on the post WrestleMania Raw or the post WrestleMania SmackDown.
Yeah, I agree. We've agreed on all but one of these results this evening.
Crazy.
Yeah, because I'm going with Rude too. Like he's just like you said. Like someone's got to stay down there. And I'm sorry, Bobby. Love you, but Nakamura's just got you beat.
Yeah, he does, and I guess Cassius Ohno becomes the new top babyface on NXT, which I'm not a big fan. So maybe my NXT watching won't. I'll still watch the show. It's only 45 minutes of my week.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing when I was watching Tim. Like, dude, it's only 52 minutes. Like, it's actual, you know, like it's basically runtime of a normal TV show. Because they do have a couple of their own commercials thrown in there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to time out the commercials for the Hulu airing and the international television airings. I totally get that. But yeah, I just hope that, you know, they don't, you know, think, well, if Nakamura goes up, oh my god, who's gonna be the top babyface on NXT? Do we really believe in Cassius Ohno? Do we really believe in this guy or that guy? I'm like, in the end of the day, well, it's great to have a strong NXT, you know, touring brand. The main roster is the most important thing, and the main roster will benefit from Nakamura.
Yeah, and they've been able to replace the people on NXT so far. I do think that they're kind of running short on, you know, talent that they can borrow from other places. But they've also shown a lot of the big classes that are coming there that, you know, you haven't really seen anything from them. You don't really hear anything about them, really, until later. So, I mean, they had, like, the China group there. You know, like, all the contestants from China. There's all kinds of stuff that could happen. But, you know, you never know until it shows up on NXT TV.
Right, no. Absolutely do not.
So, yeah, we figured since that wrapped up the WWE WrestleMania weekend, a show that I have been to at multiple WrestleManias, Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Started leeching off of the WWE's success quite some time ago.
Yeah, they were the trendsetter in that regard, yes. The Supercard of Honor is the 11th one that they've done.
Yeah.
Amazingly, you've been to many, including one in Detroit, my hometown, that I didn't even go to.
I think I only went to one night in Detroit. I'm trying to think if we went one or both
nights. I remember they did do two. They did two shows in Detroit that and you know, I was really big into Ring of Honor and buying the DVDs. I had, you know, I had extra money. You know, it was at a time when, you know what, Ring of Honor was doing stuff that WWE was not doing.
Oh,
it was the work rate paradise. You know, when WWE was still was somewhat lagging behind in that regard. Today, you know, not so much. I mean, WWE created their own. We just talked about it. WWE created their own super indie.
yeah, and I guess that has taken a little bit of the shine off of Ring of Honor.
Plus about 100 other shows WrestleMania weekend also.
Well, this is true also, because even we talked about him last week, or at least one of the co-owners there of AIW, Chandler Biggins is still laid up, but John Thorne is down there to do stuff.
But not promoting any shows.
Oh, not promoting any shows, but he's down there promoting the brand, though.
Right, yeah. I mean, you'd be foolish not to. I mean, it's you know, and of course, WWE's, you know, opinion of all these people coming in, all these indies coming in to leech off of them. Sometimes, you know, it seems like they're more okay with it than at other times, or maybe certain groups they're more okay with. I mean, I know a lot of the WWE UK guys, including the UK champion Tyler Bate, will actually be defending his title on an Evolve show. You know, I'm sure they're okay with. Obviously, they're okay with guys who are on. You know, what's wrong?
Nothing.
What's wrong? You're rolling your eyes at me.
No, I'm not rolling them at you. I'm rolling them at something that's off to the side here that.
Oh, okay.
I should not all be right. Not be doing while recording.
Oh, okay, it's all right. But no, yeah, WWE. I'm sure, you know, they're okay with some of their legends and guys on legends contracts getting, you know, a nice little payday at WrestleCon or whatever. So, but at the same time, they also want this W all be there. So once again, yeah, it's always an interesting game. Who gets booked where? How does WWE try to you know tie up venues that are owned by the city? What does this have to do with the Ring of Honor now? Oh, yeah, just talking about all the things that are going on around town. I mean, and this year it appears to be absolutely insane with the amount of things that you have to choose from to go to. And Ring of Honor, now this is where we get back on track with Ring of Honor, decided to go miles and miles and miles outside of town to book their show in a 3,000-seat building that is, the information that got out was on track to sell out, so good for them in that regard.
Well,
they're in Lakeland.
I'll tell you one thing that sucked when we went to Detroit, and then the following year we went down to Orlando, and we only did, because I think I actually did two nights in Detroit, and then we only did the one in Orlando, or maybe it's the other way around. But whatever the case was, trying to get to Ring of Honor the night of the Hall of Fame. Was really bad because we didn't realize the Hall of Fame was basically right next door to the venue that ROH had picked. And I don't know if people complained that year or not, but it was a pain in the ass. So going somewhere that isn't right near Amway Arena, which is where they held the Hall of Fame that year. I don't know if they're doing it there this year. I'm assuming they are.
Yeah. Hall of Fame's at Amway, but yeah, ROH is in Lakeland, pretty far away from everything else.
Yeah, and if they're selling out, good for them, and at least if I was down there having to drive all over the chaos that is Orlando, I would probably appreciate staying out of some of the traffic. You know, it was kind of interesting when you mentioned earlier today about covering this. You mentioned the price of their pay-per-view.
Not just pay-per-view, the iPay-per-view.
The iPay-per-view.
ROH, a company that has had numerous iPay-per-view disasters as far as, you know, buffering and streams crashing.
I keep on... I forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be on a better provider now. There hasn't been complaints about their internet streams. Now, granted, a lot of their big events that are also on iPay-per-view are also on regular pay-per-view, so you're not going to get as many complaints about streaming, but yeah, $29.99 for a single show in the WWE Network era, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, like, I was a little surprised, and then I saw the main event there, and I'm just like, I see what you're doing. But, like you said, like, in the area that we're in, you don't charge that much for something online.
Right. Well, WWE has driven down price.
It's well, and not just the WWE, but I mean, isn't Netflix around $10 a month?
Yeah.
So, I mean, just even bigger providers like that, it's just like, like, I understand that the Hardys and the Young Bucks is something of a dream match. Like, I guess I never really dreamt about it because I didn't come around on the Young Bucks until about, 2 years ago, maybe.
Right.
So, but I'm sure there are other people that would call it a dream match. And I can kind of understand trying to take advantage of it, but it's still too expensive even for something that's deemed a dream match.
Yeah, no. They cut that at least in half. Yeah, for something that was, it wasn't originally supposed to be on any kind of live availability. There was some demand for it. There was certainly demand to see this match. The Hardys are hot. They're as hot as anyone outside of WWE can be. So, yeah. This is, they definitely got something here, but I think with something else going on, with the fact that this show's going on in and around the same time NXT, at least it is starting, that can hurt it.
And they're recording it Saturday instead of their usual shitty Friday?
Yeah, it's a Saturday, like 6:30 p.m. is the start time, so it'll be... But then again, I guess on Sunday, WWE is starting at 5.
That is true. That part is certainly true. And I guess I'm checking. I did have the card pulled up here, and I guess I was wondering if they actually had the time. Six. But there is a lot on this card.
yeah, there certainly is. I know we mentioned earlier that, you know, I've only recently started watching ROH again, so going match by match may not be the best way to handle this. But, you know, they've got they've got the strongest main event they can do without, you know, without maybe bringing in the top guys from Japan, but, you know, Hardy, right, for an American audience, there is nothing bigger that they could really do. And, you know, what interests me is, you know, the Hardys, the Young Bucks, are doing a ladder match that's going to have, you know, high expectations for, for spots and for bumps. It's just interesting to me to think about if Hardys are in it, the Hardys are imminently WWE bound, how WWE feels about them working this match the night before WrestleMania, and, you know, whether Hardys are debut at WrestleMania or Raw or SmackDown afterward, or a month from now. I mean, the risk of them getting hurt if they've already agreed to a deal in principle. You know, one of them or both of them getting seriously enough hurt. If I'm WWE, I don't like this match at all. And it was a late decision to make it a ladder match. I believe somewhat of a late decision.
Yeah, and I wouldn't trust the Hardys to play it safe, because even in the confines of their own backyard, they certainly wanted to play a little rough at the Hardy compound, whether against each other or afterwards, against other teams. So yeah, I guess like you said, if they are signed, and certainly things are pointing in that direction, there's been no confirmation, but I'm going to go with the where there's smoke, there's fire theory. But there are a couple other interesting matches, like the one of the things you were talking about, how you liked this week's show. It did crack me up that it finally took this week's show to mention that Christopher Daniels was the ROH world champion.
Yeah, and boy, and they just came right out and said, ROH World Tag Team Champions, the Hardys. They've never shown clips of that title change. They never mentioned that title change the week before.
They did mention that a couple weeks back.
They did?
Yeah. Like, right at the beginning of a show. Kind of like how they did, like this week, they reviewed the match with Cole and Christopher Daniels. Then they introduced Christopher Daniels. They did not introduce the Hardys, but they did, like, kind of a cold open and kind of did an overview of the match and then moved from there, like...
Oh, I must have missed that somehow.
Yeah, so they did do that, but they haven't really made that big of a deal about it either, because they had pre-produced TV that they had to get out there.
Would have been nice to tell people the week before that the Hardys will be wrestling on TV next week, but they weren't able to do that.
Well, yeah, that was another thing that kind of cracked me up. I'm like, holy shit, the Hardys are on TV? That was a pleasant surprise on this week's show. Although, unfortunately, I would still expect that a better quality match could come between those the Briscoes and the Hardys than...
I enjoyed that match enough. I guess
time it wasn't a long match, and I guess that's more what my thinking is that I think that those guys are capable of working a longer match than that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you had to fit in all of the Young Bucks and Adam Cole's comedy in that main event.
Oh,
it was. I hated so much of that. I mean, I guess. Overall, maybe it was okay, but, you know, the Young Bucks and Adam Cole, supposed to be heels, working, doing all this comedy stuff, like they're, you know, at a house show just trying to amuse themselves and, you know, a quote-unquote smart audience. It's just like, it didn't work as a TV match at all to me.
No. Nah, I could have cared less about that main event. That's what I think maybe that's what shaded part of my thinking with the tag team match, because I see that announced at the beginning of the show and I'm like, oh my god, that's going to be an awesome main event, and they usually do a pretty good job with their main events on ROH TV. There, they usually give it, you know, a segment plus, and they do a good job of front loading the commercial break so that the commercial break there at the end during the main event is shorter than the other ones. At least on my cable provider, they do it that way. So I always kind of like the way that they lay out their shows in that manner. So, I was kind of looking forward to that, and unfortunately, I did not get that. Instead, I got all those comedy spots. And I guess that was another one where I'm looking at this card, and I had no idea from this past week's episode that Adam Cole was taking on Marty Skrull for the television championship.
I've never seen a Marty Skrull match a day in my life, so there's not much I can say about it. I don't understand why Adam Cole is in this match, why he's challenging for the TV title now. Was that supposed to be Daniel's match originally? I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that's kind of weird.
Isn't Skrull working heel, or is he?
He's called
I haven't been watching enough to.
his nickname's the Villain. And I
Okay.
have kind of like the admittedly small portion of work that I've seen from him.
I've heard great things. Don't you? I've never seen anything from him.
But
It almost seems like a weird, kind of a weird match.
it's Villain versus Villain, which makes things strange. And it just kind of reeks of they just got added because of something else. But I mean, they've been working the Christopher Daniels is going to win the ROH championship finally ever since their Decade of Excellence tournament started. So I don't know why you didn't have a plan for Adam Cole after he lost the title.
Yeah,
For one of your
why
lar for
isn't
one of your largest events of the year.
okay? You need a corner for Adam Cole at Supercard of Honor. Why not Frankie Kazarian? It would make sense. The Cole would want to face Kazarian in a singles match. If it's been decided that Adam Cole has to get back in line for a title shot. Dalton Castle already had this title shot promised. So, why not Kazarian?
And Kazarian stuck in a match with Punishment Martinez, which might be a fine enough match, but it would make way more sense for Adam Cole to be fighting Christopher Daniels' buddy than challenging for the ROH TV title.
Yeah, it would absolutely make more sense.
I didn't mean to make you weigh in on that, but it's just one of those things that's just kind of weird. And the other one, and I forgot that, and this is the one thing that always hurts ROH too. Like, I understand their reciprocal agreement with New Japan, but when they have stars missing on a regular basis and they're trying to make do with that, it's makes things really tough to tell a story on TV. And the Texas Bull Rope match with Cody, last name Rhodes, but not according to anyone except for the WWE, against Jay Lethal. Like, it's supposed to be like this kind of grudge match thing, and Lethal's been gone pretty much the whole time. And it doesn't really do them any favors to set themselves up for matches like that.
Right? Yes. I don't. I have to start watching again. But no, you're right. Yeah,
they just do it on a regular basis. Like, it's one of the reasons that Mike Bennett was, to me, like, he was like the king of. He'd go to New Japan for a couple of months, come back, they'd make a big deal out of him, and then he'd leave again. Now, granted, Jay Lethal's been there most of the time, so I think it's good that he's getting out there a little bit more. But it still hurts the storytelling. It's kind of similar to what Seth Rollins is going through. On Raw, like, it hurt that he got injured when he got injured to tell a story that's not been told very well anyway. you know, right, yeah. Where it's gotten TV time, but it's hasn't been spelled out well. And I think that this this match kind of suffers from a similar fate.
Yeah.
Okie dokie, man. Well, we don't really need to make any predictions. And I think those are kind of the big name matches. So I guess, you know, I understand them trying to capitalize on what they got for this show, but it's still too expensive.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is, yeah.
Especially when both of us will be watching NXT TakeOver for $10.
Yeah.
For the month, and that's not even just for a show. That's for a month of material. Okie dokie. Well, for the Mega Super Colossal... and look out for my... I need to get a Twitter poll going for the beer name thing. His Jeremy offered up his name, which was the Ultimate Thrill Rye.
That was my suggestion. What are you talking about?
Did you say rye?
Thrill Rye? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like
some ride.
I'm like.
No. It did start with your idea, and he liked it. He goes, oh, this is my idea. Like, he told me first thing this morning. It cracked me up. He's like, before I forget, this is the idea. And I'm like, well, I'd have to make it a rye beer, so that would change what I was going to do. But I can still do it, so that's okay.
We're gonna make it a rye. Don't make it a rye. It can just the Ultimate Thrill Brew.
Well, I was going to go with the Ultimate Hops Ride. Gonna be my suggestion. And did I feel like we had a third one lined up for a name? Oh, Hops Mania. For more like a WrestleMania kind of name.
Yeah.
Shockingly, I couldn't believe that Hops Mania had not been taken yet for a beer name. So, that poll will be out for Stunt Granny Brewing on probably my Twitter handle at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita, the brand, at Stunt Granny, whether it's wrestling or beer. It's all under that umbrella. Everybody, have a good night.
Night.